The end of the innocence. I believe that our country is at a place that we're at the end of the innocence. In 1989, a guy, very famous, Don Henley of the Eagles, he sang a song called The End of the Innocence, and it was co-written by Don Henley and Bruce Hornsby. It's just crazy good pianist and a crazy good vocalist. I mean, those guys were amazing. And the words that they penned together were this, and they were like looking back over time to where we're at now. In other words, remembering when you were young and things were just carefree, and then all of a sudden things changed and your brain got wrinkles in it and you saw things for the first time and they weren't as pretty as they always were. The end of the innocence. And I'm going to read you the words. Remember when the days were long and rolled beneath a deep blue sky. Didn't have a care in the world with mommy and daddy standing by. But happily ever after fails. And we've been poisoned by these fairy tales. The lawyers dwell on small details since daddy had to fly. Oh, but I know a place where we can go, still untouched by men. We'll sit and watch the clouds roll by. And the tall grass waves in the wind. You can lay your head back on the ground and let your hair fall all around me. Offer up your best defense, but this is the end. This is the end of the innocence. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies. Now those skies are threatening. They're beating plowshares into swords. Pulled out of the Bible. For this tired old man that we elected king, armchair warriors often fail. And we've been poisoned by these fairy tales. The lawyers clean up all details since daddy had to fly. Oh, but I know a place where we can go and wash away the sin. We'll sit and watch the clouds roll by and tall grass waves in the wind. Just lay your head back on the ground and let your hair spill all around. Offer up your best defense, but this is the end. This is the end of the innocence. That's a very powerful word. And it offers an actual alternative to the reality. And it's talking about being faced with the reality of life and then wanting to go back to the peaceful places. Sometimes you just want to run away. You know, I'm an outdoorsman. I've said before, I wish sometimes I could just run to the wilderness or to the woods of Montana and take my family and we'll live in a tent. And my wife's like, no. Back to reality, John. That's not happening. Sometimes you feel like that, though. And you can't just lay your head back in the field and watch the clouds go by and everything return to normal and everything be okay. That's a false finish line. Because the end is going to come and evil is present with us. Very present with us. I was born in 1967. I'm 58 years old. That's the truth. In 1963, John F. Kennedy was assassinated. All that were living saw it. In 1968, Martin Luther King was assassinated, killed, just like John F. Kennedy, struck with a man's bullet, killed. The whole nation that was alive saw it. On September 11th of 2001, those who were alive saw the Twin Towers struck by terrorist planes. They crumbled to the ground, and everyone that was alive saw it. And September the 10th, this year, we saw a man, Charlie Kirk, and he was assassinated. And the footage was not just the grainy footage. It was high-def footage. And it had several angles. Because everything is like this. Anything happens. I was alive for 2001. I remember exactly where I was at, just like you'll remember where you were at when you got the news this week that a man was assassinated. A Christian man, a believing man, a witnessing man, who had just actually given one more testimony and call to Jesus right before he died. But I was alive for this. I was alive for 2001. And the truth be told, I had heard about John F. Kennedy. I had heard about Martin Luther King. But it did not have the effect on me because I didn't see it. I saw footage of it, but I wasn't alive for it. So I wasn't really caught up. But 2001 caught me up to the reality of evil in the world. And September 10th, this week of 2025, I would say this. We're all caught up now. We're all caught up now on the situation of evil that is alive in this world. And like you, I was astounded at people that celebrated, that the sounds of people cheering in the background, the sounds that moments later you see people dancing and displaying cheer that human blood had been spilled right in their face. That is a harsh reality of the evil that is present. It is a very good time to know who Jesus is and accept him as your Savior, that he will rescue us from our sins. That sin that's in us is still connected to that same evil that is present. And there is a way out, and there's only one way. Be clear. There's only one way out, and it is Jesus and his blood, and he's victorious over all of those things. With all of these things that have gone on and taken place, I want to just make a couple of comments. In Psalm 122, some of this will be read from the ESV, some will be from the New King James Version, but in Psalm 122, it talks about peace. It talked about David saying, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I think of Psalm 13, where that same David had said, how long, Lord? How long will you hide yourself from me? And by the end of that psalm, he's praising, because praise is always a proper response to God. When I don't understand, praise is a proper response to God. But we've been taught about peace, and we've been taught to pray for peace. And here in Psalm 122, it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Not to put him on the spot, but I did not realize we had a Messianic Jew. Thank God he's a Messianic Jew that's here with us this morning. I had already picked these scriptures. I had already picked out every bit of this. But my heart, y'all know my heart on this thing about the Jews. I've been so heartbroken. The universities that spill the poison of the Jewish people, God's people. And now we've become God's people. And it's been opened up to all of us. Thank God through Jesus, through the Messiah. Hallelujah. But that hatred is still there. The hatred is still there. And I talked to you about the difference in people last week. I talked about how that there are a lot of people that believe in God. But if you want to get in trouble, mention the name Jesus. And how that they're the same. Jesus, God, they're the same. But you start talking about Jesus because people think of God and it's become a very generic term. God can be all kinds of things. And you can believe your thing. And I'll tolerate you while you believe your thing, unless it's Jesus. Can I tell you, tolerance goes out when we start talking about Jesus? So you know what I say to that? Talk about Jesus. Because he's the truth. And we are not to hide behind the truth. We have it. We have it inside of us. There are scriptures, John 14 and 27. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, you believe in me also. Not going to quote all of that out, but I'm just telling you, Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. And we've been told to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we've been told to pray for people to come to peace. And we've been prayed to that wars will end. But our Bible talks about in the last days wars and rumors of wars. And while I would like to continue to believe for peace, there are things that are present because evil is present, and there's some things of peace that just aren't going to come until Jesus comes. Can I tell you that if you go to your grocery store, you can buy a canned good. You can buy a canned good today. And you can, some of those canned goods are going to be good next year. And there are refrigerated canned goods. And they'll only be good for a year or two. But there are dried out canned goods with a liquid inside of them. I mean, like that you don't have to refrigerate. But they'll stay on your shelf for 6, 8, maybe 10 years. It's marked on there by law how long they say it's good for. That's called what? Shelf life. That's called a shelf life. And in that period of that shelf life, you can have certain expectations about the food that's inside. That I can eat it, that I can boil it, that I can heat it up, I can add butter and salt to it and it'll be good. Or bacon grease will make everything good, right? Y'all stay with me now. Stay with me. But this world's got a shelf life on it. And I don't have to have perfect vision to see that. I think that date's coming up. All the signs are pointing to that. Ephesians 2:14 says that he is our peace. I don't have to pray for peace because Jesus is my peace. But I do have to allow some things when I get shocked and inundated with all the stuff that I've seen. I have to pray, God, let your peace return to me. You know that scriptural, you have to call your peace back in, even though it's there, even though he's living inside of you. When these outside forces, these things that you see that are so evil, you call your peace back to you. I saw one person that said, I will keep this footage. One person is one entity is saying, don't look at the footage. It's too hard. Because the truth is, we were not built to see things that we saw this week. We're not built to see that. But some said, don't look at it. It's too hard. Pull it down. And others said, look at it. And remind yourself, when you see these things, of the evil that is in the world. But he is our peace. 2 Timothy chapter 4 said this, and I use this passage a lot during this discipleship series. I charge you therefore, this was Paul speaking to his spiritual son Timothy, a young minister, a young pastor over a new congregation. He said, I charge you, the early church, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. I'm telling you this. Let your peace return to you. Peace is not for the world. Peace is for the believer. He is our peace. It is for the world in the sense that Jesus came to save all. I believe in John 3:16. But peace belongs to the believer. It belongs to the believer. I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 22. We know what the beginning of the book says, the creation. But most folks don't know a lot about the end of the book because Revelation is a little bit scary, right? But the last chapter, do you know this about Revelation? Let me just throw you this, just for a challenge. The Bible says something about Revelation that it doesn't say about any other book. It says, blessed is the one who reads it, and blessed is the one who hears it. There's a particular blessing that goes with this book for hearing it and reading it. And I want to pick up in verse 6 because there's a glimpse of heaven right here. And he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. Now, just stop right there. And Bible scholars believe for the most part that Revelation was written somewhere about 96 to 99 A.D., after the death of Jesus, about 60 years after the death of Jesus, 60-something years. That means for about 1,929 years ago or somewhere, 1,930-something years ago, this was written. And what it said was, these things must soon take place. I sense a shelf life. Verse 7, and behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. So the first part of Revelation says, blessed is the one who hears it, blessed is the one who reads it. And the end of the book says, blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon. Behold, I am coming soon. Bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters. And everyone who loves and practices falsehood. You've seen that on display this week. You've seen it on display. Those outside, the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers and idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. You've seen it. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. So we see that Jesus is saying, I'm coming soon. I'm coming soon. And I just read to you out of 2 Timothy the charge for ministers to continue to preach the word, exhort, rebuke, love them enough to tell them is what it's saying in short. Love them enough to tell them. Don't let them leave here not warned. It's what he's saying. You can't be responsible for the response, for their response, but you will be responsible that you warned them. And then at the end, Jesus is saying, I'm coming quickly. I'm coming quickly. But there's something else that said right here, and it shakes me to the core. Verse 11, let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. Christine, there's your two columns right there. What you talked about is dead on. There are two columns. We can't be responsible for what the world does. We're going to keep lifting up the name of Jesus. And the shelf life is drawing near. As it was in the days of Noah. Noah preached, he preached, and he preached, and he preached. And one day the door was shut. Well, that's coming. That's coming soon. We have a responsibility, though, to be salt and light. Salt and light. Salt in its pure form, you can't mistake it if you taste it. Nothing is like salt. And salt has properties that it changes the environment it's introduced into. Light. What does light do? You can't shut light out. You can turn it on and you can turn it off. But when light enters, it shatters darkness because it has a property like no other. And Jesus said, be that. Be salt. Be light. Wherever you go. If you believe in Jesus, salt. Light. Change the environment that you're in. Christine, will you come? The older I get, the shorter I'm trying to preach. And some of you may debate that. But I listen back to the messages because I want to make sure that what I conveyed to you, and I also want to be able to reach back and pull forward. But I look at that time. And I've seen it go from an hour and 10 minutes to 48 minutes to 35 minutes. And you know what? Human nature, if we were to just go by human nature, I'd be lucky to get your attention for 20 minutes. So that tells me probably about half of what I preach to you doesn't matter. You're in and you're out. That's human nature. It's just not about preaching. We like watching mysteries at home. And all of a sudden, I'll hear Vicky and Christine say, oh, and I'll be like, what happened? And I was sitting there listening, but my mind was out here. That's human nature. According to the Word, there's nothing new I can preach to you anyway. That hasn't been said. According to the Word, you already know. Can I tell you this, that a phone call from your pastor to check on you, that right there is only met with a courtesy from you at best. My brother told me something. He pastors in Ohio, a very large church, and he said, I had to get past something, John. He said, our church, they're givers. They're givers. He said, but at the end, I felt moved to ask for an offering, one more offering. And he said he couldn't believe it. He said people gave a cash offering of somewhere around, I don't remember, something like $7,000-$10,000. So the regular offering had gone, just so you know. The next offering, and I'm not talking about money, I'm just talking about a heart position. Is there any more inside of you? Is there any more that you want to give? Is there anything else that you want from the Lord? I want to warn you that the more stuff that you get, the more apt that you're going to miss out on this to do that. Not trying to get on to you, but I'm not making apologies either. When this is our time together, This isn't even the Sabbath. This is the first day of the week. Look on your phone and find out. It says SMTWTHFSS. I got that wrong, but y'all know what I meant. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Sunday. Right? Sunday is the first day of the week. Seventh day of the week. Sabbath. That's Saturday. We're at the height of our play on the Sabbath, if you will. We worked all week. We deserve Saturday, right? So I would say this to the Christian church. If God has been gracious enough to not judge us over that, I think that if we chose a day and said, okay, that's the day we're going to worship God, we ought to at least worship God on that day. Amen. I hadn't done it in a while. But I'm going to wave a hanky at that one. I have been at a church of thousands of people. Y'all know my history. I don't need to see another person come to church. I don't. But I do need to see the ones that come to church be like David and said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Yes. Do you know what I think church ought to be, ought to look like? I think church ought to look like if there were barbed fences around it, people would be cut up and scratched up trying to get in here. That's how I feel about it. Yes. And when this lady right here with her broken body comes walking into this building, and when this lady right here comes with this strong man beside her walking into this building, and I decide, I'm preaching now, and I decide if ain't nothing else better going on, I might go to church. Just don't bother with it. If that's all it means. Because for some reason, for some reason, we think that this scripture has got to do with them. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. I know that the devil tempts, but do you know what the rest of the scripture says about that? It says, when they are tempted and they are drawn away by their own desires, their own lusts, you ain't got nobody to blame on nothing. I told people last week, I dated myself. I said, you remember Sammy Davis Jr.? And I took it back further. I said, you remember Flip Wilson? The devil made me do it. That's a lie. You did it all by yourself. Most of my messes, I needed zero help doing them. I did them all by myself. It is time, with the shelf life where it's at, with y'all know my heart as a pastor. You know my heart as a pastor. But it is time, with the shelf life being where it is, that we lay aside every hindrance and every weight and we get serious. And if I stepped on your toes, you ought to say, thank you, John Morgan, for stepping on my toes. Here, I had a little protection. Step on them now. If it means stepping on a toe to keep you from missing out on anything God has for you. And if there were a time at all when you were more committed to God than you are right now, you need repentance to take place in your life. That's just the truth. Yes. And I have loved you enough to tell you. Evil is present. You don't know how much time you have. I'm going to serve the Lord with my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength. I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to preach the Word. What a force God's people would be if we exchanged just that for that. Oh, almost fell down. See you there. Pardon me. Oh. Whoa, sorry. Yeah, I know. Yeah, hey man, how you doing? Yeah. Hold on. What'd you say? Call my name, Michaela. Yeah, honey. What? Yeah, I always come running. What? Who am I to you? Papa. Hey, baby. Does that say enough? I had somebody build these. They are called church altars. Church altars. They're just an opportunity. I grew up on them. I grew up coming to them every service. Can I tell you, it's been forever since I've been to one? And I had them installed for you. And we don't hardly use them. And I remember when I was a kid, I went to a church and they didn't have them. I couldn't believe it. I thought, what in the world? Now you can't find a church that hardly has them. And when you find a church that's got them, they don't use them. It's time to use them. I'll prove it to you.